out your Bible and open up to Leviticus chapter 3. Leviticus chapter 3. Throughout the month of September, we've covered each of the an offering each week in terms of thinking through those offerings, of seeing in terms of a sin offering that Jesus offered for us, in terms of we failed God. We didn't honor Him with our lives. We did not dedicate ourselves to Him. We sinned against Him and we failed. And Jesus bore that penalty for us. Then you think about the trespass offering. We took advantage. We treaded upon the rights of our neighbors and those who were surrounded by. And yet here's Jesus that comes in and pays the restitution. He pays the propitiation for us as we put our hand upon His head, that He would take our place and that He would have something in His innocence and sinlessness that enables us to be forgiven because of what He has done. Because of the sin and the trespasses being forgiven and removed, we now find fellowship with Jesus. We find fellowship with God. And in having that fellowship with Him, we found in the burnt offering a saying from the heart, from us as worshipers, God, I give you all of me. I give you every aspect of me. I want to dedicate myself completely to you. And yet, if you read through the burnt offering, you'll find an aspect in there about where they even washed off part of the legs, and you realize there's still some things that need to be addressed in this dedication to God. He's still striving to clean us up even beyond that. And then in thinking about the grain offering, God, I recognize that you're the giver of every good thing in my life, and I want to honor you with it. And I want to give you a memorial portion, and then you will make the rest of all that you've given to me holy, because it's dedicated to you. And because of what Jesus did for us in all of those things, seeing He fulfilled all those offerings from the Old Testament so that we could have this new covenant in Christ, now we get to share in this peaceful relationship with God. And if you notice here in Leviticus chapter 3, look at verse 1. He says, now if His offering is a sacrifice of peace offerings. Now, I want you to notice that word peace. So often if you think about a Hebrew word for peace, what word do you think of? You might think of shalom. Sometimes you'd see someone who's Jewish. They say shalom. They're saying peace to you. And that is a singular word for peace. This word here for peace offerings is not shalom. It's shalim, which is the plural form of peace. It is a multi-directional peace. Because we're going to be fully dedicated to God, we find peace with God. We find peace with our brothers and sisters. And Proverbs 16:7 goes so far as to even say that when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he can even make his enemies to be at peace with him. And you go, it doesn't mean if you have an enemy who's not at peace with you that you're not walking in ways that are pleasing. But I just want you to see, this kind of peace is something that is not just singular of just a relationship with God. This is a peaceful relationship on top of everything. And that's why I kind of use this multi-directional idea. And English kind of lets us down. It's kind of like, what's the plural of quiet? There's not really one, right? It's kind of a unique way that the English language works. You don't say quiets. But here's the idea about peace. You have peace on so many different levels because you're going to dedicate yourself and do things God's way. You see your material blessings as coming from God. And so you look in terms of going, okay, these are not mine. These are mine to share and to use and to keep God's ways with. So you see how these things come together. So here in Leviticus 3:1, look at these first. Let's look through 5 verses here. He says, now if His offering is a sacrifice of peace offerings, if He is going to offer one, if He's going to offer out of the herd, whether male or female, He shall offer it without defect before the Lord. So He's dealing first of all with the herd. So we're talking about cattlemen, someone in terms of, we would say, cows or oxen. And notice it says, does it matter whether it's a male or a female? No, that's not dependent here. What does matter? without defect. And you come back to Jesus and you look at him and go, without defect. Then, verse 2. He shall lay his hand on the head of his offering and slay it at the doorway of the tent of meeting. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood around on the altar. So you see this idea. I'm going to put my hand on the head of this animal. This animal is going to take my place. And on top of that, now it's up for the one who is the worshiper. Now, this is a fellowship offering. Because you have fellowship with God, you can share and celebrate this peaceful relationship that you have. Put your hand on the head of the animal. As the worshiper, you come and you slay the animal. And then at that point, notice what happens. It says it has to be brought to the doorway of the tent of meeting. You can't take this anywhere. He says, and Aaron's sons, the priest, shall sprinkle the blood around on the altar. And that's the altar of burnt offering, the one right inside the gate of the tabernacle. Then, verse 3. From the sacrifice of the peace offerings, he shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. Okay, something has to be fumed before God here. Notice specifically what this is. What's being fumed? He says, the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them, which is on the loins. What is this about? What's being offered to God? The best portion, the fat, because the fat is the very best part. Now, keep in mind, I know I've said this before. In the Old Testament, when it talks about fat, it's not breaking down the animal the same way we think of. We think of looking at a nice juicy steak and seeing the fat that's around, trimmed around on it. That's not the way they saw fat. They saw fat as the best portion. The very highest cut of meat is what we would say. So, whenever you see what's at hand, we're going to offer up the very best to God. So you think in these terms of, I'm going to offer up the very best to God in this peace offering. This is why we have peace, because I'm going to give my best to you. Now, here's this animal that's without defect. Then he continues on in verse 4. He says, and the lobe of the liver, and which he shall remove with the kidneys. Then verse 5. Then Aaron's son shall offer it. What's the it? The fat, as well as it talks about the lobe of the liver, which can also be very fatty. People talk about fatty liver all the time nowadays. So here in Leviticus 3, you look down at verse 5. He says, then Aaron's son shall offer it up in smoke on the altar on the burnt offering. He says, which is on the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. How does God receive an offering when someone brings an animal without defect? They're going to offer up the very best to God. What does he take from that? Soothing aroma. This is so soothing. You can think about moments in life whenever something is taking place and finally you get soothing news. But this is even beyond that, because that usually comes out of a tragic background, something difficult going on. This is about, I have peace with God. I get to share in this covenant relationship with him. And based upon that, I want to offer you my very best of this animal that has no defect. And so you start looking specifically and thinking about Jesus, going, he is the very best. And it's because of Jesus I have this peaceful relationship with God. Now, if you notice, verse 1 talked about from the herd. Verse 6 is going to talk about from the flock. In other words, the sheep or the goats. Then it's going to get specific. Verse 7 through 11 is going to be about the lamb. Verses 12 through 15 are going to be about the goat. It's going to go through some very specifics there. But once again, I just want to point something out. Look down at verses 9 and 10. It's talking about from the flock, from the lamb. Once again, male or female is not determinant. Without defect is. But notice, from the sacrifice of peace offerings, he shall bring as an offering by fire to the Lord its fat. And then notice how many listings of fat there are within this lamb. The entire fat tail, which he shall remove close to the backbone, and the fat that covers the entrails, and all the fat that is on the entrails, and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them. What do you see in the intense purpose is? All the fat belongs to who? to the Lord. Now, skip down to verse 16. He brings these things all together. He says, the priest shall offer them up in smoke on the altar as food. Food. Is it because God needs to be fed? No, it's not that at all. You can read through Psalm 50 to see that a little bit closer. But he says, an offering by fire for a soothing aroma. And then notice the very tail end of the verse. What does he say? All fat is the Lord's. All the best belongs to God in this offering. Now, I want you to just kind of think about some statements that sometimes you hear people make. This peace offering that's being shared in is about offering your very best to God. You ever heard somebody say, oh, you know, if you're going to worship God, that's on Sunday. I work 6 days a week, and Sunday is the only day I have to sleep in. What are they withholding from God? The fat, the best. Do you think they're going to share in a peaceful relationship with God? No. We're not going to offer our best to God, so we're alienating ourselves from peace. Now, look at the very next verse, verse 17. It is a perpetual statute throughout your generations in all your dwellings. You shall not eat any fat or any blood. The best belongs to God or the Lord. Remember what's in the blood?
Life.
Who is the life giver? God is. So who is the only one who should have the blood?
God.
The moment we start to think that we can give spiritual life, what's going on? We're deceived. We're losing this. We have to understand this peaceful relationship is totally dependent upon God. And are we going to respond to Him to give Him our best and recognize that life truly comes from Him? Because when you start looking at Jesus, can you come to the Father except through Jesus? No. Did He offer His blood? Did He offer His best, which is the very best ever? Perfection, without blemish? Now, if you notice here, it talked about how that these things are about food. He says, we're offering food. So, notice, look over at Leviticus chapter 7. Look down at verse 25. You see some things kind of similar here. 25 through 27. It says, for whoever eats the fat of the animal from which an offering by fire is offered to the Lord, even the person who eats shall be cut off from his people. What's the result if you're going to take fat from the offering for yourself? You'll be cut off from God's people. So all of a sudden, you came to offer up a peace offering to say, I enjoy this covenant relationship with God, but then you violate His covenant. What is the outcome? You're cut off. You came to offer a blessing, but instead, what are you getting? A cursing because of your actions. Do we have responsibility in this peace? We do. Then, verse 26, you are not to eat any blood, either a bird or animal, or in any of your dwellings. Notice it doesn't just affect what happens at the tabernacle or the temple. This is about all across the board. Then, verse 27, any person who eats any blood, even the person, shall be cut off from his people. How serious is God about this? He says, you'll be cut off from his people. Now, that's not just you're sent out in the wilderness. We're talking about things like being stoned to death, being even burned to death in certain situations. Then, notice he's going to talk specifically about the peace offering. Look at verses 28, 29, 30, and 31. He says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, he who offers the sacrifice of his peace offerings to the Lord shall bring his offering to the Lord from the sacrifice of his peace offerings. His own hands are to bring offerings by fire to the Lord. He shall bring the fat, once again, we're back with fat, with the breast, that the breast may be presented as a wave offering before the Lord. The priest shall offer up the fat in smoke on the altar, But the breast shall belong to Aaron and his sons. Now, I want you to notice this picture. He says, specifically, here he's talking about the breast and the fat. And you go, I thought all the fat was the Lord's. Notice, who is this piece given to? To Aaron and his sons. Now, he uses this term here, says a wave offering. And they would literally take this piece of meat, this breast with the fat on it, and the priests would wave it toward the holy place or the holy of holies as if to say, you wave it to God, and what is God going to do to the priest? He's going to bring it back. What's the priest recognizing? Who's providing for him here? God is. In this food, he says, I'm offering it to God, I'm waving it to God, and then God waves it back. Don't think of this as a wave offering. This is, we're waving food to God. We're saying, this is God's. And God, in turn, is giving it back to Aaron and his sons to eat. Because remember, they don't have a portion of land in terms of what they're going to have by inheritance later on in the days of Joshua. So you see this aspect of it. And notice he says the fat and the breast. And what's he supposed to do with the fat part? He gives, once again, that best part in fire to God. Then there's another aspect here. Look at verse 32 through 34. He says, you shall give the right thigh to the priest as a contribution. You might even have a footnote that says a heave offering. We'll deal with that in a second. From the sacrifices of your peace offerings. The one among the sons of Aaron who offers the blood of the peace offerings and the fat, the right thigh shall be his as his portion. He says, for I have taken the breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the contribution from the sons of Israel from the sacrifices of their peace offerings and have given them to Aaron the priest and to his sons as their due forever from the sons of Israel. Now, this aspect of the thigh, do you see how it calls it a heave offering? What direction do you expect this to go? Can you imagine taking your food? I'm glad the kids aren't in here. But to go, here is my portion. This is what you find out a little bit different here is the breast was a general for this, for Aaron and his sons. The right thigh is specifically for who? The officiating priest who actually carries out what's going on here with the blood and the other aspects of what he does. He heaves it up. Now, don't think necessarily like he's throwing it up 60 feet in the air. Or else, boy, they've been really good at catching. Heave it up. I give it to God. And what's God doing? He brings it back. We would say, oh, it's just gravity. That's not what they're thinking. They're thinking, I give it to God, and God gives it back. He's taking care of me. Now, you're starting to see these aspects of things are starting to divide out food. The fat portion goes to God. The breast goes to Aaron and his sons. You see the right thigh goes to the officiating priest. And then you start to look out and go, all right, well, what about the rest of this animal? Because there's a whole lot left here, right? If you offered up a lamb or a goat or a male or a female of the herd, you see these things together. And you notice there's not an exception for birds. You'll find out quickly here in a little bit why. Looking later on in Leviticus chapter 7, look a little bit earlier on, verse 15. I want to show you there's three different types of peace offerings. They're not all one and the same. Leviticus chapter 7, look at verse 15. Now, as for the flesh of the sacrifice of his thanksgiving, peace offerings, it shall be eaten on the day of his offering. He shall not leave any of it over until morning. So, here is an offering. You're going to find there's three different types here. The first one is a thanksgiving offering. It is probably the highest of the three. The next is a votive, and it's not whenever you cast votes. It's about whenever you make a vow to God. And notice, all these things are within having peace with God. The third is what's referred to as a free will offering. This kind of the lowest of these three peace offerings. And as you start to think about making a vow, you start thinking about Thanksgiving. Notice the Thanksgiving offering. And don't, this is not the day of Thanksgiving like our calendar. This is gratitude for this relationship with God. Grateful. You might think about 1 Thessalonians 5 where it talks about for offering thanks to God. This is our will in Christ. This is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. A grateful, thankful people. This should be us. So he offers this and he makes the statement here. It shall not be eaten. None of it will be left over till the morning. You go, oh, how's God feel about leftovers? He says, oh, for this offering? No. He says, has to be eaten on the day of his offering. Verse 16. But if the sacrifice of his offering is a votive or a free will offering, it shall be eaten on the day that he offers his sacrifice, and on the next day, which is what is left of it, may be eaten. So now we're getting into the next two levels. I've made a vow to God. Now, think about typically, what do you think of when you think about making a vow to God? What vows have some of you married folks made? I hope all of you have made. But the idea is, I'm making a vow to God. I can only make this vow based upon having a peaceful relationship with God. You ever hear people who are not religious go, you know what, I made a vow to God. What does God say about that? You can make a vow to me. We have to have peace before you can make a vow with me. And you certainly don't have that until you come to Jesus. Now, you see the idea. You can see this played out in the New Testament over and over again. Matthew 22 talks about there's a king who's going to hold a wedding banquet for his son. And he kills, it literally has it printed there in 22:4 about the fatted animals, the fattened livestock. He says, they've been butchered. Everybody's been invited to come to the wedding feast. Of course, people, you know, do as they do, and they don't honor what should have been honored. They get destroyed as part of it. Then as part of it, they say, well, call everybody else in. Everybody else comes in. And you remember there's one man who's there who doesn't wear wedding clothes? Oh, what's he not offering? He's not offering his best. And by the way, usually at these wedding feasts, clothes are provided. He just, out of rebellion, didn't put it on. Now, and then, of course, what happens to him? He says, he's speechless. How come you're not wearing wedding clothes? He knows he doesn't have an excuse. He says, bind him up, hand and foot, throw him into the outer darkness, and that place there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You can't have peace with God and be rebellious. You can't come in and say, I just want to do it my way. He says, no, what are you going to sever yourself from? Peace. And who will you sever yourself from? God. Now, you notice what else is here in verse 16. He says, if the sacrifice of his offering is a votive or a free will offering, he says, it can be eaten on the day that he offers it. It can even be eaten the next day. So God's okay with leftovers for one day on this. But what about the third day? Verse 17. But what is left over from the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burned with fire. He says, at that point, this is over. And you can understand some things, too, about what God was relaying to them, that God knows what happens to food when it's not refrigerated for 3 days. And isn't it interesting that in just keeping things of the law, they were being protected from things they were completely ignorant of. Until somebody stepped across the line. Oh, these things are real. You can really get sick from this food if it's left over 3 days. Now, notice how it continues on. Look at what else is here. Look at Leviticus 22. Maybe should have hit this before while we're there. But Leviticus 22. Look at verses 22 and 23. I want to show you how not everything had to be completely perfect in some of these peace offerings. Leviticus 22, look down to verses 22 and 23. Well, verse 21, make sure you understand the setting. When a man offers a sacrifice of peace offerings to the Lord to fulfill a special vow, maybe like a Nazirite vow, something along those lines. He says, or for a free will offering of the herd or the flock, it must be perfect to be accepted There shall be no defect in it. Okay, sounds very similar to what we've already read. Verse 22. Those that are blind or fractured or maimed or having a running sore or eczema or scabs, you shall not offer to the Lord, nor make of them an offering by fire on the altar to the Lord. He says, if there is any defect, if you're going to try and come to God on behalf of something other than it's perfect, what does this do to the peaceful relationship? Let me give you a thought. We know Jesus is the offering, perfection. What if you want to strive to come to God in any other way, shape, form, or fashion? What's going to happen? You get cut off from God. Now, then it will not be acceptable, will not be taken. But notice verse 23. I told you some of these offerings have a little bit different standard to them. In respect to an ox or a lamb which has an overgrown or stunted member, you may present it for a free will offering, but for a vow it will not be accepted. He says for a free will offering, and this is where you see the equity of God. What if you couldn't, you wanted to say thanks to God, you earnestly desired to do this, but you didn't have the means by which to offer up a thanksgiving offering. You didn't have the means by which to offer up an animal that was out defect, but you had one in your herd that had maybe one leg a little bit shorter or three legs a little bit longer or something along those lines. And you said, I just want to offer a free will offering to God, and that is the best that I have. Did God allow that to happen? Yes. Do you see God caring for the lowly and taking care of them? He says, you want to say thanks? You may not be able to afford the best, but look at what's here. So he comes through with this, and if you notice how it goes on from here a little bit further to see some other aspects of this. But in this, oh, Eric. Right, it would cost less to offer something that's blemished. Look back at Leviticus chapter 7. If you start looking through the way this offering lays out, you present your animal at the tent of meeting, you lay your hand on its head, this animal now takes my place. And notice, blood is offered. There is still atonement aspect, but it's very minimal here. And so you slay the animal. The priest then takes it from there. He takes the blood and he puts it around the altar of a burnt offering. He sprinkles it there. The fat portions are cut out. They're fumed up to God on the altar of burnt offering. And God is deserving of the best. And the worshiper has no blood in this. And you go, all right, the breast and the fat's been offered to God. The breast is given to the sons of Aaron and his sons, or Aaron and his sons. The right thigh is given to the officiating priest. And then you come to this and you go, oh, man, we have all this meat that's here. This is a celebration. This is a feast. Now, Leviticus chapter 7, look at what else is here, verse 11. Now this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings which shall be presented to the Lord. If he offers it by way of thanksgiving, this is that highest level, that thanksgiving offering, then along with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, he shall offer unleavened cakes mixed with oil. Remember what oil is all about? Gladness. This peaceful relationship, how do we feel about it? He has made me glad, he has made me glad, I will rejoice for he has made me glad. We sing that song all the time, don't we? You ever think about, oh, this is part of a peace offering. Then he says, all right, unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers spread with oil, and cakes of well-stirred fine flour mixed with oil. What is this all about? Oh, God, we get to share in this covenant relationship with you. This is wonderful. I'm so grateful to you for all that you've done for me. You've bought me back from my sin. You've paid my propitiation, my restitution for sinning against my brethren. He says, I have dedicated myself to you in every way that I know. He says, all that I have has been given by your hands, and I share in this peace with you. Thank you. And then comes the next verse. And you're going to know what's really odd about this when you read it. Verse 13. With the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving. This is still the highest level. He shall present his offering with cakes of leavened bread? What? Leaven's about what? Corruption, hypocrisy, sin. He says, you have to bring leavened? You can almost see the priest going, what? Now, I want you to think about this real closely. Known sin and known trespasses. If you haven't made peace with God about those things, can you have peace with God? No. Do we have hidden flaws within us? Yes. Is there still sanctification work to be done in our lives? Yes. Is God recognizing that? Yes. This is not the idea, oh, okay, you know, I sin, no big deal. No. If it's known about a sin or a trespass, that's dealt with in the trespass and the sin offering. This is about God still knows we have hidden is the key, flaws that have not yet been exposed to us so that we can offer and change those things. Isn't that comforting to know that God recognizes us for who we really are? And once again, this is not high-handed rebellion when you see leavened. This is about God understands where we are in this. Now, and then you think, here are these things together, and then verse 14, of this he shall present one of every offering as a contribution to the Lord. So one of every unleavened cake or unleavened wafer or a little bit of the fine flour, handful, mix all of it mixed with oil. He says, of this he shall present one of every offering as a contribution to the Lord. It shall belong to the priest who sprinkles the blood of the peace offerings. And the priest once again gets a portion. Basically, this is a big banquet. This is, sometimes we used to sing a song out of Song of Solomon. He invites us to his banquet table. His banner over us is love. And you go, he's saying, come, we have this peaceful relationship. Sin has been dealt with. You have dedicated yourselves completely to me. This is a peaceful time. Let's enjoy this relationship. Aaron and his sons have been given a portion of meat. The officiating priest has been given a portion of meat. Now here's the rest of this animal. The fat, the best has been given to God. He's worthy of all of our best. And he's given us life. Now you start to look and go, and now here's the meat to be cooked. Here is wafers, cakes, unleavened with oil and a little bit of leavened. And to go, let's sit down and share this meal together. And there are other aspects of this too that we're not hitting, but you start looking at this and going, come to the table. If you think about in terms of Romans chapter 5, it talks about that we have been justified by faith. He says, through Jesus. He says, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, with God the Father. He's the one who brought us peace because he dealt with our sin and our trespasses. We laid our hand on his head when we were baptized into Christ. He is my sin offering. He is my trespass offering. Now I come. I'm going to dedicate myself completely to God. There's the burnt offering. I give you all that I have It's all under your control. I recognize it comes from you. There's the grain offering or the meal offering. And now we share in this peaceful relationship together because of what your son did and the response to him on our part out of faith. There are dozens upon dozens of passages in the New Testament. Times where he talks about feasts. Times where he talks about people with excuses why they don't come and they get thrown out into the outer darkness. God is not okay with our excuses for not offering our best. You start looking through over and over again about this is our, you come in and dine with me. He says, and I will dine with you. We'll share this relationship together. John chapter 6 is wonderful. Go read through it. See where Jesus talks about himself as I am the bread of life. I came down out of heaven. He says, and I give myself so that you could be bought back. And you realize it's all about, will you eat of me? I'm the bread of life. Will you take me in and let me be part of who you are? But not just part. I want all of you. You know, there's some crazy songs out there. We're talking about, and it's about a man and the lady that he loves. Says, all of me, why not take all of me? And the idea is, shouldn't that really be the songs that we sing? All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. It's not something he has to poke and prod. I freely give my best to you, all of me. You come to this banquet feast, and really what it comes to is welcome to the table. Our time in worship where we are gathered together around the Lord's table. He invites us to share in, to celebrate this peaceful relationship we have with God. If you are not a covenanted, if you're not someone within the covenant of God, you're excluded. Specifically in Leviticus chapter 7, look at verses 24 and 25. He says, also the fat of the animal which dies and the fat of an animal torn by a beast may be put to any other use, but you must certainly not eat it. Verse 25, for whoever eats the fat of the animal from which an offering by fire is offered to the Lord, even the person who eats shall be cut off from his people. And you start thinking, if you're not going to have this relationship with God, someone who has a covenant relationship with God, you could not offer this. What we share in around the table is for God's covenant people. If you're not part of a covenant with God through the blood of Christ, do you have any part or portion in that? We do not. Hebrews 13 talks about we have an altar where we can eat of that not everybody can eat. It doesn't mean they can't come to the Lord and share in the same things. But this covenant relationship matters. And whenever you partake of the bread, what is it? Unleavened, without blemish. Here is the Lamb of God. This is the kind of dedication we're called to have. This is the example of what a true burnt offering looks like. When we look at Jesus and his attitudes and his ways and his motives and his thoughts and go, this is the standard for a relationship with God. And then comes in the leaven. I fail. And then comes the blood of the new covenant in my blood. He says, this cup. He says, this is the blood of the new covenant. He says, it's established by what I gave in my life. And he says, what's this covenant about? Freedom from sin. Is this examination about ourselves to say, oh, now I just feel guilty? No. It's about refinement. Now recognize, because we have to be truthful with ourselves in that moment, don't we? Am I really giving my all to God? Am I really giving him my best? And then going, because I share in this covenant relationship with God. And I have peace with God because of the blood of Christ. And then he says, and I'm going to write my laws on your heart. Because when you look at Jesus, what is he engraving on your heart? His standard. And you go, and now what happens? We're his family, adopted by God because of the blood of Jesus. He says, and you won't have to tell people to know God because they'll know him because of your covenant love toward me. Are we loving God the same way that Jesus loved us? And you realize there's an examination. He looks at our hearts and he recognizes, are we still have hidden flaws? Yes. But if you know them, it is time to address them and to go on forward. All those thoughts there at the end come out of Hebrews. And that's where we're going to start. Brent's going to lead us off next week in Hebrews chapter 1. All right. Have a great week.